in conversation. You know, we want to encourage an understanding of prayer as a dialogue with God. God wants you to talk with him. I've just remembered my microphone. God wants you to talk to him, and he wants to talk to you. And we need to remember that prayer is a two-way thing. It is a dialogue, and we want to learn to live lives that are in conversation with God. Last week, we saw why we should pray, and we saw how we should pray. We also talked briefly about fasting as well. I presume that none of us have eaten anything since last Sunday. Our main essence of what we said last week, though, was we were encouraging you to pray prayers, not just to say prayers. It wasn't that we were having issue with people who read a prayer or read a prayer of someone that wrote it hundreds of years ago even. That wasn't the problem. It wasn't that we don't want people to read prayers. What we want is people to pray rather than just say. You know, it's easy when you've got the scriptures in the morning. I sit in front of them, and sometimes on a bad morning I'll read my same scripture reading three times. And you say, why? Well, because I'll read it to the end, and then I'll suddenly realise I haven't actually read it. My eyes have glanced at all the words, but actually none of it's sunk in. So to discipline myself, I make myself go back to the very beginning and start. It's great, because when you do that a couple of times, you don't do it again for a while. I mean, you've got to discipline yourself to read the scriptures. You have to discipline yourself to pray. You know, these things do not come naturally. If you are waiting for an experience with God where it all just flows, let me just say something to you. You may be waiting a long time. Yes, I have days where that happens. But the reality is the disciplines of the Christian life are very important. But what we were trying to encourage you to do last week was to pray when you pray. That what you say should be earnest from your heart, that it should be a definite expression of what you are saying in dialogue with God. So today's title is corporate prayer, and we're going to talk about this a little bit. Now, when Bill was reading to you, if you were following the words on the screen, you will have noticed a half sentence was in bold type. And that was this. It says, so Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. There is power in corporate prayer. I don't want to say today that there is anything inferior about you praying alone. It's very, very important that we develop our own prayer lives. A number of years ago, when Pauline and I were going through a very difficult situation in church, it was our prayer lives that kept us from falling by the wayside. It was the fact that we maintained a regime of prayer in our home. And I want to encourage you to have a private prayer life. But this morning, I also want you to understand that it's vital that we pray together. When you hear people saying, well, you know, the church has had its day, that's a load of poppycock. It's a load of bunkum. You know, the church has grown more worldwide in the last 60 years than it had done previously. And I am saying that it had done previously. In 60 years, the church has become an enormous impact on our world and society. And thank God for the growth of the church. Even in this country, the church of God is growing. The corporate life of the church is what Jesus has called us to. Jesus said, I will build my church, not I will build you personally. And, you know, if we think it's all about us and Jesus, we are missing the point. You know, ultimately, we will all stand before God. I will have to give account for myself before God. And that's really important. It's absolutely vital. We mustn't forget the power of personal prayer. We mustn't forget the importance of personal relationship with God. I can't hide behind the church. I have to have my own relationship with God. But neither can we forget the power of belonging to the body of Jesus Christ. You know, even the Church of England is growing in this country. I recognise the Methodists and the United Reformed are in terminal decline. But most church denominations are growing. The Pentecostals are mushrooming. But the reality is, in the last 30 years, the big agents for change in this country that have brought growth to the church have been the new churches. And we thank God for that, for Ground Level, for Pioneer, for New Frontiers, for Ichthus, for Salt and Light, for all this host of new groups and denominations. We thank God for them. And we thank God that we've had a little part to play in that growth. But the power of corporate prayer resides when we come together. If you read in Acts chapter 2, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And when we come together, prayer should be central to everything we do. You know, I am sorry, but I am not interested in going to church where they don't pray. I have been in meetings where we have started and ended and there's been no prayer. I've been to meetings where we started and ended and there's been no public reading of the Word of God. I also abhor that. You know, we should put the Word of God and prayer at the centre of what we do. Oh, I sound like I'm having a rant, don't I? Lord, forgive me. You know, it's not about that. It's about we must put what's central, central. You know, the Word of God is central to our lives. Prayer is central to our relationship. How can you have a relationship with someone? 33 years I've been married to my wife last week. 33 years. But 48 years I've been in relationship with Jesus this week. 48 years. And you know what? I have only got on with Jesus through talking to him and listening for his voice, his reply. And that's the only way I've got on with my wife either. And I thank God that I get on with both of them. And I thank God that they both matter to me. But the power of corporate prayer when we get together, wow, that is something else. There is something powerful about a group of people praying the same thing, agreeing in prayer and punching above their weight in spiritual warfare. Yes, God hears you when you are alone. But when the early church prayed together, the earth shook. And it did. It did. Did the earth move for you? Well, it does when the believers get together and pray. So, in this scenario that we read in Acts chapter 12, James has been arrested and put to death just like that. When Herod realized that he got some good vibe from it, that the feedback from the people was positive, then he arrested Peter. But because it was Passover, he put him in prison, thinking, as soon as the feast is over, we'll kill Peter too, and I'll be the most popular man in all of Palestine. But it says these words. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying for him. The church prayed for Peter. There was no prayer meeting for James. Now, by James, of course, we mean James, son of Zebedee, brother of John, not James, the half-brother of Jesus, who went on to lead the church in Jerusalem. It's that James. But James never had the benefit of prayer. Peter did. And the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Do you remember last week I told you about that pastor that I'd been listening to at the Ground Level conference the week before last? Dan Backens, he was diagnosed with cancer 11 years ago. It came back viciously after 7 years. He had surgery, he had radiotherapy. He was still today dealing with the side effects of that. But 14 months ago, the consultant told him without even looking him in the eye that he was going to die. There was nothing more they could do with him. He was to go home and put his affairs in order. And he went home, had a breakdown, and after 8 weeks could finally show himself in church. And he told the church these words. He said, "I will not be with you much longer." But the church earnestly prayed to God for him. And today, he's healthy, he's got no cancer in his body, he's not had any more treatment, but he's had the touch of God on his life. His daughter was wayward, he went to the church again. He said, my daughter, she's a drug addict, she's a drunkard, she's bald, she's shaved her hair off, and she's living a life to support her heroin addiction that's not right before God. And the church prayed. And that very same week, his daughter contacted him. Dad, come and get me. He went and got her. And you know, he was full of stories where he could say, but the church prayed. And what I want to impress upon you today is that we will not see any of this stuff unless the church prays. You know, I thank God for the miracles I can list in my life over the years where I can say, God did that. But you know, every single one of them, I can come back to the church praying. Yeah. And I want to encourage you today, you are that church. Yeah. You are the people who can pray. And you may feel, well, you know, I'm only little me. Well, do you know what? You are only little you. But when you get together with other little yous, you become a flock of little ewes, you become the sheep of God, and you become a people who can pray, and pray effectively, and corporately call the kingdom of heaven into being in our world. And I thank God. You know, I am not convinced that we have an absolute divine right to demand healing every time we are sick. But I am convinced that we have an absolute divine right to call the kingdom of God down into our life and circumstances, and the kingdom of God will bring healing. That's right. The kingdom of God will bring breakthrough. The kingdom of God will facilitate the power of God in our lives, and we will see the touch of God. I believe it with all of my heart. You know something? Over the years, we have... We've been like Paul. We've gone from crisis to crisis. You know, we've gone from beating to flogging to, well, we haven't had any of that. But we have had financial crisis, issues within the church, all types of stuff have gone off. But you know, God has been with us. And we have seen miraculous provision. Miraculous provision. I was telling Isaiah this week. It sounds funny when you say you were telling Isaiah something, doesn't it? But I was telling Isaiah this week about the time when there were less than 20 of us. And we'd written a check. It's the only time I've ever done this. And I promise never to do it again. But we'd written a check that would bounce. And we'd given it to the guy on the Saturday. And on the Sunday morning, I'm praying, God, well, you better do something in the offering this morning, Lord. Because we had £1,500 less in the bank than the cheque was for. The cheque was for £3,500. We got £2,000 in the bank. And it was to buy, in fact, these two speakers that are still running up here. And, you know, that morning, Paul came up to me and said, I think you need to have a look in the offering box, Stephen. And you know what? There was a single cheque for £1,500 from a dear lady who is no longer with us, who was destitute financially. But you know, that very week that we had needed £1,500, her husband had finally decided to agree to a divorce after 12 years of living apart, and he had agreed a settlement, and that week the solicitor had sent her a cheque for £15,000, and she'd given us a tithe. And our need was £1,500, and we got that. And on Monday morning, I was at the bank when it opened to make sure it had the best chance of being cleared before the other cheque was. And of course, we never had a minute's bother, did we? But you know, things like that, they're the touch of God. And that's because we had the whole church praying for the need that we had for PA equipment. And you know what? Your personal needs are far more important to God than our PA. You know, sometimes don't hesitate to say, well, will you pray for me? Because we want to pray for you, because you matter to God. You matter to me. And all of these things are powerful in our corporate prayer. I'm taking my watch off now, which tells you that I've gone on a long time already. The Greek word here, where it says, was earnestly praying for him, is ektenos. Ektenos. Now, it's translated three ways in most versions of our Bibles. One as fervently, one as earnestly, and one as non-stop. I quite like that non-stop one. But the word literally means to be stretched out. As, for example, as you might stretch out your hands towards God. And ultimately, we must understand it in that sense, that what the church was doing here, it was praying to God as if our hands were stretched out to God, as if it was beseeching God, as if it was earnestly praying, praying and praying and then praying some more and then praying some more and not stopping praying determinedly. And that is the way that this prayer makes a difference. You know something? When we get together, we bounce off each other. We encourage each other in prayer. We get enthusiastic. We cry out to God. We declare. We invoke the name of Jesus. We can do all of those things privately. But when we get together, there's some power there. There's something wonderful. You see, wherever you are, God is with you. But when we're together, God is with us all. And God, there is a sense in which the power of God corporately amongst us, it's almost like it's amplified off from each other's prayers. And I can't give you a theological basis for that. I can only say it does seem that way. But you know, I remember an incident. Let me say this to you first. What would it take to get you to pray earnestly? What would it take? Would you have to have a friend that was ill? Would you have to have someone close to you that was ill? Would you have to be ill? Would you have to be dying? What would it take to get you to pray earnestly? Let me tell you about the first time in my life when I really engaged in what I would call earnest prayer. I was about 20 years old, and Mrs. Ligo stood up in front of the church and said, I have got an inoperable lump in my breast. And the doctors have told me I need to have surgery and I need to have chemotherapy and radiotherapy and all this type of stuff. But I've decided to put it in God's hands. And this woman, who had never said a word in church in her life, she was so quiet. Honestly, she had a very noisy husband, but she was very quiet. She suddenly became a firebrand. And then she became so ill. Her husband had to bring a single bed downstairs for her, and she laid in this bed all the day long. And at the time, the pastor was off sick, as he was a lot, and I was leading the church. And I said to the people, I'm going to open this church at 7 a.m. every morning, and we're going to pray until Hilary Ligo is healed. Now, we prayed at 7 a.m. till 8 a.m. every morning for 10 weeks. And do you know what? That church grew in that time. The church got so enthusiastic about prayer, and it prepared us for Hilary's death because she died. But do you know what? In that period of time, I learnt about earnest prayer. Now, I don't want to go into this event a lot because it was probably more involved than I said. But you know, earnest prayer may not necessarily bring the kingdom of God, but we have to pray earnestly as though we can. Because Jesus said, when you pray, pray your kingdom come. Jesus told us to do this. We must do it. And we must be ready to step over the corpse of anybody that dies along the way. You'll remember I've often said this about General Astronaut Charles Duke. I was having dinner with him, the third to the last man to walk on the moon. And he said to me, someone said to me, when you've got a prayer line and you're praying for the sick, what would you do if the person in front of you dropped dead? And he said these words, I would step over their corpse and pray for the next one because God heals. And we have to be not put off by our experience, but we have to be focused on the word of God and the promises of God. So the church was praying earnestly arms stretched out to God for Peter. There is another place in the New Testament where this word is used, and it's in 1 Peter. Funnily enough, it's in Peter's writings, where it says, love one another earnestly. May your love be stretched out. Can I make a suggestion to you? You will pray earnestly when you love earnestly. So start praying that you'll love people. If there are people in this church that you don't love, pray for them. It works. You will start to pray earnestly. My second point is praying together. So I've said to you already that praying together eggs us on. It encourages us. But prayer together changes things. If we believe that prayer changes things, we will pray.
Yep.
Yeah?
Yep.
If you don't pray, it's because you don't believe that prayer changes things. Now, this is what prayer did for Peter. It says this. It saved his life. Praying for Peter saved his life. An angel came and walked him out of prison. Wow. Wow. But it saved his life. Praying for Peter gave him a miraculous experience. Have you had a wow lately? Well, praying is how you get a wow. It's how you encounter the miraculous. And if you're really wanting someone else to encounter it, pray for them. If you want the miraculous in your life, pray it for someone else. Because as you sow, you will reap. You know, this is definitely the word of the Lord. Praying for Peter resulted in his freedom. How many people do you know who need to be free? Come on. We need to be free. We need to see people free. Praying for Peter surprised everyone. This is the sort of the laugh value in Acts chapter 12. Because Rhoda didn't open the door to him. She just looked through the door, saw it was him, and ran back saying, it's Peter. But she never let him in. He stood out there. You know, well, it would be really nice to come in, folks. Thank you for having a prayer meeting for me. Thank you for saving my life. Thank you for giving me a miraculous experience. Thank you for giving me my freedom. But would you mind letting me in? It's cold. And we have to recognize there's nothing wrong with being surprised at the goodness of God. In fact, let's have more surprises. And praying for Peter had unexpected consequences. Because the following morning, no one could explain where he'd gone. And Herod killed the guards that had been looking after him. Had Peter wanted that? No, I don't think he had. Had the church wanted that? No. The church were not there praying, God, we pray you will kill those stinking Roman guards or those Jewish guards or whichever they were, or Roman Jewish hybrid guards or whatever they were. Lord, we just pray that you will slaughter them, butcher them where they stand. No, the church were not praying like that. That would be terrible. I hope you don't pray like that. But it was an unexpected consequence of their prayers. So, praying together is powerful. It's good. Now, my last 3 points will take about 3 minutes. I want to remind you that 10 years ago, almost exactly, we launched Connect 3. Some people called it prayer triplets because that's what it was based on. Years and years ago, Billy Graham started something called prayer triplets, and we decided to upgrade it, give it a new image, and we called it Connect 3. And I still pray in my Connect 3 network the same configuration of people that I've been praying in for 10 years. And I thank God for it. It's absolutely marvelous. But I want to encourage you, if you don't do this in your life, why not do it? Why not ask 2 other people in the church, preferably of the same gender, because it's better for you, arrange to meet. The idea is that you just exchange your name and phone number, and possibly your email address, however you communicate, and you agree to ring each other when you need prayer, and you agree to meet together, shall we say once a fortnight, twice a month. And, you know, this is a really powerful thing. The 3 of you will build relationship, and you build in your praying. And the idea is that the scripture talks about, though one may be overpowered, 2 can defend themselves, but a cord of 3 strands is not quickly broken. And in Matthew it says, again I tell you that if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask for, it will be done by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. So it's imperative that we understand that there is something strong about three. And the covenant of Connect Three prayer groups is simply these words. I commit to pray with those I have chosen to be connected with regularly in person and by phone. I will be there when I am needed because we are a cord of three strands. In agreement, we will overcome because Jesus is with us. It's a simple covenant of prayer, and we do that. I've been doing that for 10 years. It's been a blessing in my life, believe me. And I would never have known that 10 years on, I wouldn't have changed those prayer partners. I mean, you can change it. You can have a run round after 3 months, 6 months, a year. The important matter is that you do this jointly out of agreement. And so why don't you do this? Why don't you? Why don't you invest time in building a Connect Three group? It's very powerful. It will be good for you and it will be good for the church. So those scriptures are powerful scriptures. I want to just leave you with one further encouragement about Connect Three, and that is, why don't some of you use this building to meet? I think it would be really good if people did. Now, Jane and Mary are already praying together, and they meet here to pray, because it's halfway between where they live. It makes a lot of sense. I'm not saying you have to do this. By all means, meet in your own homes. But it would be good that prayer was taking place in this building. So I'll leave that idea with you. My next point is nights of prayer. Now, we did this for 7 years. I went and did a master's degree and found I couldn't write after losing so much sleep. So we dropped it, but we relaunched it last month. The last Friday in the month, we're praying 8 till midnight, and it's a time of spiritual warfare. And can I encourage you? It's mighty powerful. You know, we have seen a lot of things happen in this church in the last 4 weeks. A lot of things. God has really been with us. And I honestly believe, hand on heart, that nights of prayer kicked it all off. And I believe we'll now build momentum as we pray in the night. So I'd like to encourage you to be part of that. You know, some people say, well, I don't think God needs you to get up in the night to pray. Well, you know, God doesn't need you to do anything, but I think it's a good discipline. Just like I think fasting is a good discipline. And you may find yourself doing things that are not natural for your body, but they are good disciplines before God. And I'd like to encourage you to take part in this event. And lastly, you see, the last 3 points were quick, weren't they? Worship. Almost every week, in our worship time on a Sunday morning, we pray for the sick. We pray for those in any kind of need. We pray earnestly. We pray with arms stretched out to God. We anoint with oil. We follow the scriptural pattern. We do these things every week. So there's no reason why you cannot receive prayer or be part of that prayer. When we're praying for the sick, when we're praying for those in need, please pray. Don't just say, but pray. Pray earnestly. Pray with your arms stretched out to God. Pray stretching yourself before God. Pray earnestly. Pray fervently. And you can do that every week this time. So, remember last week we said pray prayers. Don't just say prayers. You know, you can impress people terribly with your oratory, with your praying these great prayers. But what matters is are you expressing your heart before God? Are you really praying? Really, really pray. Pray, but then also pray together. You know, it's brilliant when you can have a prayer partner in the church. If you can have two and make a Connect Three group, it's really powerful. God will help you. God will be with you. But also pray corporately. Whenever we have a prayer meeting, we haven't got it running at the moment, but our ask prayer meeting, which we do run from time to time, that's on when we advertise it. But come, when there's an opportunity to pray corporately, come along. Nights of prayer, come along. It's powerful. It's wonderful when we can pray together. But this is the point, people. expect that your prayer will save someone's life. Expect that your prayer will give someone a miraculous experience. Expect that your prayer will set someone free. Expect that your prayer will surprise everyone. Expect that your prayer will have unexpected consequences. And when I say your prayer, I don't just mean your prayer. I mean your corporate prayer. All of your prayer. Expect that it will. Do you know what? I absolutely am committed in faith to believing that this year our prayer life will revolutionize this church. If we want to be known as anything, don't we want to be known as a church where people pray and we get answers? Yes. You know, we've got this whole program of things planned for the autumn, and if we get tacked on to this funding stream that we're applying to, and then we'll have extra staff, we'll be running things madly. But you know, ultimately, none of that will happen unless we pray. None of it will do any good unless we pray. We're not just a social service. We want to serve our community. We want to serve our city. But ultimately, these things will work if we pray. And I am dependent on your prayers. Next week, we're going to talk about this again, and we'll talk about other things. But I want you to know, I am dependent on your prayer. Without you praying for me, I'm going to go up the Swanee. You know, nothing's going to happen of any significance unless you pray for me. And that's why I am so earnestly praying for you. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, this morning, we thank you for the power of corporate prayer. We thank you for the love of God. We thank you for the powerful, powerful answers to prayer that your kingdom brings as it manifests in our world, in our society, in our city, in our lives, in our church. Lord, we ask you right now that you might encourage us all this week to be a praying people, that every day we might pray, that this week we might engage with the corporate body in prayer, that this week we might see the hand of God move powerfully amongst us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.